Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our House of Representatives call for Tuesday, August 31st, 2021. I'd like to welcome the Senate here with us as well, and everybody that is in the gallery to our call tonight. David, just to let me know that he's going to take a little bit of a jaunt tonight as well, and I think I'm going to start out with what I wanted to bring to the table tonight as well. I want to challenge you to do some research between now and the next time we meet. We may talk about it, we may not, but just something for your information. But just research the 12th Amendment. I know we've only re-inhabited back to the 10th, but I think the 12th Amendment that may come into play here in the near future, and I kind of looked it up, and that particular amendment passed Congress in December of 1803, and it was ratified June 15th of 1804. So I thought that was interesting. But anyway, when you get a chance the next couple of weeks, if you get a spare 20 minutes or so, take a peek at the 12th Amendment, and we may, like I said, briefly talk about it the next time that we meet. We may not. I kind of wanted to throw that out there for everybody's information, just to kind of challenge you to do some research. And before we get started tonight, does somebody want to open us up in prayer this evening?
This is our Representative Mark Binder. I'd be happy to do that.
All right, you have the floor.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time to be able to come together. Please watch over us. Guide us, direct us, lead us to do your will for the glory of your holy name. Father, we know you're the same yesterday as you are today, as you will be tomorrow, and that you'll never leave or forsake us. We pray for protection, provision, and we also pray for your healing power to be sent to us, Father God, so we can remain healthy. We also ask you to watch over our military. We ask that you, especially those people over in Afghanistan, Father, pray for protection and safety for them. And we pray that they be brought home, whomever can be. And it's in your mighty name that we ask all these things, in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Amen. 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 Thank you, sir. All right. And before we get into our teaching tonight with David and Gene, let me go ahead and run through our roll call real quick here. I'm going to start off with Representative Hill. Representative Reed.
Present, thank you.
All right, Representative Rockwell is present as well. Representative Schmidt, are you with us?
Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin Free State is present.
All right, and Representative Binder.
Representative Mark Binder is present. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And Representative Cox, are you with us tonight? All right, it looks like we've got four representatives representing four states with us tonight. And without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and yield to David and Gene Hertler tonight to get our teaching started. You guys have the floor.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. I want to thank you, Mr. Speaker, for giving me the floor, but I also want to thank you for whatever you saw in me to come alongside and to teach. And I don't know how many years I've been doing this now, but I'm in absolute gratitude to have been given this opportunity, this honor, to be able to teach. And I'm learning with the representatives and with the senators. Gene and I have been getting some expanding in wisdom for years. We have really discerned the virtue.
Point of order, you're cutting in and out.
Okay. We have been really concerned about this word virtue. And so something came up today, and you may look at me as being maybe somewhat radical, Representative Schmidt, am I any better? Does it sound better?
Yeah, it sounds a little bit better, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, something better now.
All right, thank you. So I may be a radical. I think I am. But what we have come across, I really want you to understand. I want to try everything I can to articulate and to make myself clear. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to run down the list quickly, and I'm going to move into this word virtue where we can really understand what this word virtue means. So I don't know how long this is going to take. I'd like you guys to have a notebook or a piece of paper and a pen to be able to write down something that you want to ask me, but I would like to run through this and try to express myself the best I can without interruption. So here I go. The first thing I want to say is that the National Monument, that second book, the re-inhabited book with Jesus Christ being in the center and being able to go counterclockwise around that thing, the matrix of liberty, and coming out on the other side to be a liberty man, to be a self-governing individual, is huge. It is really huge. I went into history on how that book came about. And the National Monument, on the front of that, the National Monument to the Forefathers was erected by a grateful people in remembrance of their labor, sacrifices, and sufferings for the cause of what? Civil and religious liberty. Then I want to go into where there is no vision, the people perish, Proverbs 29:18. I can't tell you how many times I've looked at what John Adams wrote in his diary, repeated it, and then I found more to be added to it, so I picked that up and I went into it. But listen very carefully, because what he's describing is a commonwealth. And I want you to know that Gene and I, learned that around 1720, America went into deep sin pattern for some 20 years. And Jonathan Edwards started preaching in the early 40s, and people started listening. His voice was so anointed with Scripture, and other evangelists, George Whitfield came over and to visit his friend over in Georgia, Oglethorpe, and then he started preaching, a guy by the name of Davies. There was other different evangelists that were preaching in the early 1740s, and the first great awakening happened because of their teaching. Now, John Adams was 15 years old. He was born in 1735. Washington was born in 1732. And John Adams' dad sold 10 acres off the Braintree farm to send him to Harvard. When he was 20 years old, he had this diary entry, and he said it this way: suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. And every member would be obliged in conscience to temperance and frugality and industry, to justice and kindness and charity towards his fellow men, and to piety, love, and reverence towards Almighty God. He said, in this commonwealth, no man would impair his health by gluttony, drunkenness, or lust, and no man would sacrifice his most precious time to cards or any other trifling and mean amusement, and no man would steal or lie or any way defraud his neighbor, but would live in peace and goodwill with all men, and no man would blaspheme his maker or profane his worship, but a rational and manly, a sincere and unaffected piety and devotion would reign in all hearts. What a utopia, what a paradise would that region be. So I went over that, but this thing, commonwealth, republic is a commonwealth, the state in which the exercise of the sovereign power is lodged in representatives elected by the people. Then, this, we know that Harriet Beecher in 1852, Uncle Tom's Cabin, 21 years before that, her dad wrote in the Spirit of the Pilgrims, and I've said this numerous times, listen to the words very carefully: the government of God is the only government which will hold society against depravity within and temptation without. and this it must do by the force of its own law written upon the heart. This is that unity of the spirit and that bond of peace which can alone perpetuate national purity and tranquility. That law of universal and partial love by which alone nations can be kept back from ruin. Now listen to this very carefully. There is no safety for republics but in self-government, listen to what he says here, under the influence of a holy heart swayed by the government of God. Let's do that again. There is no safety for republics but in self-government. To me, what I'm seeing here is the liberty man. Self-government under the influence of a holy heart swayed by the government of God. This was written in the Spirit of the Pilgrims in 1831. James Madison said it this way. He said, we have staked the whole future of American civilization not upon the power of the government, oh, far from it. We have staked the future of all our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. And I'm just going to throw this in the mix. 1837, July 4th, John Quincy Adams was asked to speak. Why is it that next to the birthday of the Savior of the world, your most joyous and most venerated festival returns on this day? Is it not that in the chain of human events, the birthday of the nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior? That it forms a leading event in the progress of the gospel dispensation? Is it not that the Declaration of Independence first organized the social comment on the foundation of the Redeemer's mission upon earth? That it laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity and gave to the world the first irrevocable pledge of the fulfillment of the prophecies announced directly from heaven at the birth of the Savior. That would be in Luke chapter 2, where the angels visited the shepherds and predicted by the greatest of all human prophets some 600 years before. That puts some legitimacy into the Declaration of Independence. Now I'm going to visit, if you'll permit me, Representative Schmidt, I'm going to go back to where we were last week with natural liberty, okay? I've got something. I've got a bonus for you tonight. Okay. Mr. Locke defines to be that state or condition in which all men naturally are to order all their actions and dispose of themselves and possessions as they think fit within the bounds of the law of nature. This is public virtue. Listen to this now very carefully. What I just read, what Locke just said. Now listen to this. Each person must somehow be persuaded to submerge his personal wants into the greater good of the whole. This willingness of the individual to sacrifice his private interests for the good of the community, such patriotism or love of the country. The 18th century mindset was into public virtue. And they said a popularity-based government cannot be supported without virtue. Going on, what Whitaker then said, he said, in this state, all men are equal, and no one hath a right to govern or control another. Then he said, and the law of nature, or the eternal reason and fitness of things, is to be the only rule of his conduct, of the meaning of which everyone is to be his own judge. Well, we have to know a little bit more about the law of nature. Okay, now, going into natural liberty, here's what Sam Adams said. Now, listen very carefully. The natural liberty of man is to be free from any superior power on earth and not to be under the will or legislative authority of man, but only to have the law of nature for his rule. What we are into is Sam Whitaker's sermon that he gave in 1777, in the autumn of 1770. When he started that sermon, here's what he said. The sum of the law of nature as well as of the written law is love. Love to God and man, properly exercised in tender feelings of the heart and beneficent actions of life, constitutes perfect holiness. Did you get that? So the sum of the law of nature as well as the written law, you know, the laws of nature and the laws of nature, is love. Love to God and man, properly exercised in tender feelings of the heart. Okay. Now, we know there's law, but James Wilson, who only lived to be 56 years old, he was a justice of the Supreme Court. We have to anchor this. Human law must rest its authority ultimately on the authority of that law which is divine, far from being rivals or enemies. Religion and law are twin sisters, friends, and mutual assistance. Indeed, these two sciences run into each other. In other words, we can't run a government that's based on Christianity and virtue and liberty. We can't run a government without staking it on God's law, divine law. Okay? And then we go to Benjamin Rush. The only foundation for a republic is to be laid in Christianity. Without this, there can be no virtue. Let me say it again. Without this, there can be no virtue. And without virtue, there could be no liberty. You know, when I first saw that, I started scratching my head. And then you got John Adams. John Adams, when he was 20, I started this off with his diary entry. It was on February 22nd on Washington's birthday. But this is what he wrote a week before Jefferson got done with the Declaration of Independence. Statesmen, my dear sir, may plan and speculate for liberty, but it is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand. The only foundation of a free constitution is pure virtue. And if this cannot be inspired in our people in greater measure than they have it now, listen up, they may change their rulers and their forms of government, but they will not obtain a lasting liberty. They will only exchange tyrants and tyrannies. I'm almost there. Hang with me. I went into James with you guys. There's two different kinds of wisdom. Okay, divine reasoning is what created divine wisdom. Or let's just say true reasoning by God created true law. And from the true law came true justice. And from true justice, they came into commonwealth. They came into a true commonwealth where they made a covenant with God, the people. And if you're going to do it God's way, then it's God's commonwealth. But, okay, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, in other words, quarreling, a state of quarreling in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish, and where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy being treated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Okay. Then I went into with Dr. Marlene McMillan, I went into what's your frame of reference, what's your ideology. And we found out that there's a philosophy, a rational investigation of the truths and principles of being, knowledge, and conduct. We found out there was a bunch of premises that are lodged in your thinking. First thought leads to another, to a later thought. In other words, you could have an idea tomorrow morning, but that idea came from a previous thought. And you have the power to exercise subsequent reasoning. Now, where are the reasonings coming from? Are they coming from below or are they coming from above? And you have the power to come to a conclusion. But the big thing is that every frame of reference has a religious premise. So the congressmen that are up there in Washington, D.C. use a religious premise while voting on legislative matters. Okay? All right. Now, getting into virtue. moral goodness, the practice of moral duties, and the abstaining from vice or conformity of life, and conversation to the moral law. Virtue is nothing but voluntary obedience to truth. A particular moral excellence as a virtue of temperance, of chastity, of charity, so forth. All right, now, this is where we're at. I got help this morning from my wife, Jean. She was in Ephesians. Let me show you here. Now, when Jesus was walking with his disciples, there was a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years, and she said, if I could only touch the hem of his garment. So he's walking along with his disciples, and all of a sudden he says, who touched me? And the disciples tried to reason with him. There's people all over. How can you say, who touched me? And he said, virtue came out of me. And when you look up virtue in the Bible, in my King James, virtue is the same thing for power. Okay? When I go to the 1828 dictionary by Noah Webster, I find out that what Jesus was carrying while he was walking with the disciples, while he was with them for some 3 years, what he was carrying with him was virtue. He was carrying efficacy power. Efficacy power. What's that? To produce effects, production, to the effect intended as the efficacy of the gospel in converting men from sin. Okay? Efficacious, if you look up efficacious, capable of having the desired result or effect. Now, Gene brings up Ephesians 3:20. Here's what it says. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You could use the word virtue there, according to the virtue that worketh in us. Okay? But the scripture before that, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. The only way that this can happen to you is by faith, is that you believe what you just read, and you believe that you have all the fullness of God inside of you. I shared with you 21 words, trustworthiness, uprightness. These are all Jesus characteristics. Prudence, respectability, these are Jesus characteristics. Work, honor, integrity, moral excellence, goodness, godly character, faith, kindness, love, purity, righteousness, merit, charity, faithfulness, justice, innocence, temperance, and another one. Honesty. These could be his character that makes up, that's just a start. These could be his characteristics that make up his efficacy power in his virtue. So, efficacious, capable of having the desire to result or effect. To live with that kind of virtue, he could walk up to a blind man and heal the blind man. He could say to the man that's lame, he said, pick up your bed and walk. He could heal the leper. He could change water into wine. Efficacious, capable of having the desired result or effect. Is this available to the Christian? It says here, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Why was it, John G. Lake, going back to the 1800s, Zuzu Street, why did it work for some people? where they could touch people and they could be healed, where they came from all over the world to Zuzu Street to be healed. Why did that happen? Why hasn't it happened with us? Maybe it has. Okay? Now, when I look up Peter, when I find out why Peter wrote 2 Peter, he wrote it because of false teachers. He found out while he was living that there was a spirit of lawlessness that was presented by the preachers. He also found out that there was heresy coming out of their mouth, that the Christian does not have to be moral. So what did he do? Peter's antidote for this poison is to urge a growth in Christian virtues as the most successful method of destroying such false teaching. Okay? Now, we know that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Then I shared with you 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. And besides this, giving all diligence, constant and earnest effort to accomplish. Constant and earnest effort to accomplish. All diligence. He says, add to your faith virtue. And virtue, knowledge. And knowledge, temperance. And the temperance, patience. And patience, godliness. And godliness, brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, he shall never fall. Now listen up. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thomas Jefferson said, educate and inform the whole mass of people, for they are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty. Okay, I'm almost done here. We know in Galatians, for brethren we have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for occasions of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, here's the great commandment, Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. Master, what's the great commandment? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Listen up. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Those two commandments are the most important commandments out of all the commandments that he gave. Okay? John Eliot, 1659. He showed us the Christian commonwealth. I just shared with you the commandments. And here it is. It is the commandment of the Lord that a people should enter into covenant with the Lord to become his people, even in their civil society as well as in their church society. Let me ask you a question. Don't answer it right now. How can you expect to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, without going into a covenant with God to become his people, even in their civil society as well as in their church society, whereby they submit themselves to be ruled by the Lord in what? All things, receiving from him both the platform of their government and all their laws which they do. Listen up. Then Christ reigneth over them in all things, they being ruled by his will and by the word of his mouth, Isaiah 33:22, the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he shall save us. Why did Ed Burke say, what is liberty without wisdom and without virtue? It is the greatest of all possible evils, for it is folly, vice, and madness without restraint. Men are qualified for civil liberty in exact proportion to their disposition to put moral chains upon their appetites. And why did Sam Adams say, if we most truly enjoy the gift of heaven, let us become a virtuous people, then shall we both deserve and enjoy it? He said, neither the wisest constitution nor the wisest laws will secure the liberty and happiness of a people whose manners are universally corrupt. He therefore is the truest friend to the liberty of his country, who tries to promote its virtue, and who will not suffer a man to be chosen in any office of power and trust who is not a wise and virtuous man. And the last thing I want to share with you, this is Sam Adams. He said, while the people are virtuous, they cannot be subdued. Then he said, if virtue and knowledge are diffused among the people, they will never be enslaved. This will be their great security. What I am suggesting, I have never been taught this. I have never been preached what I just shared with you. When it comes to virtue, virtue has come out of me, Jesus said. Virtue is power. Virtue is efficacy, power to produce effects, production to the effect intended. I am suggesting that in this day and age, with everything that's going on, for whatever reason, we in the Republic, I am suggesting that we embrace this teaching, that we go after, that we want to be like Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. We want to have his virtue. We want to be able to walk in front of people that are sick and be able to put our hand out, touch them, and expect them to be healed. Why was the word virtue used? Dr. Benjamin Rush. The Republic was built on Christianity. Without Christianity, you can't have virtue. And without virtue, you can't have liberty. What a statement! We can have a Donald Trump and the military introduce the Republic to the American people, but it will be in name only unless this message goes out that the only way that it's going to survive is that in all three branches of government in all 50 states, we have to have God-fearing people serving in all three branches of government as well as in the nation's capital. I'm talking about governors and lieutenant governors. I'm talking about everybody in the assembly. I'm talking about everybody in the Supreme Court in the states. I'm talking about the national Supreme Court filled with God-fearing people. I hope that I made a dent in your spirit tonight, that we can get on board to understand how big and how big and how vibrant, how spiritual to live in virtue. It's the only way the Republic is going to survive. And with that, I open the floor up. There has to be one or two questions.
Hello, this is Representative David Schmidt requesting the floor, please.
You have the floor, sir.
Well, that kind of reminds me. I have to realize I've been, I mentioned this before, but, I've been awakened in the Patriot Movement since 94, and I start looking back at the height of the Patriot Movement back 1994 to 2000, where you had millions upon millions of people joining into the Patriot Movement, but the one problem was they didn't operate in virtue. They didn't have their spiritual foundation in place. They did not have that. They did not have, that's the part they didn't have. They didn't, you didn't see that. It was all about revenge against government officials. And so that, I definitely do 100% agree with that, because you don't have that spiritual foundation. You don't have a virtue. You're not going to go anywhere. And just like, look at it this way. You were at that one Republic meeting in Minnesota. That was back in June of 2011.
Yeah.
all of us out there, we all bid that everything was booming in Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the only thing is, that was nothing but a house of cards that completely collapsed about a year and a half later.
You're right on.
And a big part, well, I'll tell you what, big part of the reason I know is because, you know, personal, some of the individuals, you know, some of the officers, I know them from past experiences. Yeah, like they had one officer was a lesbian, by the way.
Yep.
I think it was the senator. And another one's at there, and another officer at there, pro-abortion and, you know, pro-immorality of any kind you can think of. You know,
right.
kind of that kind of stuff. And
yep.
And I would just make one little quick comment. Otherwise, there's no, you know, John Locke passed away in 1704, long before Nathaniel Whittaker
right.
was born. And
right.
so with the lack of communications, there's no way that Nathaniel Whittaker would have known about the Navigation Act 1696 and
right.
and the Wool Act of 1699. He would not have known any of that at all, and
right.
some of the other stuff
right.
that John Locke was involved in. I'm also going to bring another one up. You had done a presentation several years ago on the constitutions of Carolina and Pennsylvania. And
okay.
John Locke, on behalf of Carolina, to paraphrase, John Locke stated that the Constitution has to have many good laws for
mm-hmm.
it to be a good Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think William Penn, I think stated, I think he only needed something about God's commandments, and
mm-hmm.
that's it. Spiritual, be based on the Bible. You don't need
mm-hmm.
you don't need a whole pile. And
mm-hmm.
And if you ever read the Constitution of Carolina, it's got like 120 different articles in it. Like 30 or 40 of them involve the establishment of a feudal system in a colony of Carolina. I decided to add that in there. And just one question. You're going to be adding more chapters to your book before you publish it, you know?
We're in limbo right
to America.
Yeah, we're in limbo right now. We're trying to put a closure on it, but
okay.
You never
well,
know.
Was,
you never
was,
know.
I was thinking that there. You can if you're going to do it like a chapter three, calling out the church ministers for not taking right ground. You can entitle it "Pansies in the Pulpit." That is what Brandon Howes, on his show, I think last Thursday or Friday night,
okay.
he called out the church ministers, and he called them pansies in the pulpit.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And earlier tonight on Brandon Howes, he had another guest, Daniel Greenfield. He was talking about the Muslim invasion of Europe and America, and he brought up John Adams's quotation that the Constitution is written solely for moral and religious people. It is wholly
yep.
inadequate for
yep.
any other. He brought that
yep.
quote up.
Fantastic.
And
David.
What?
Fantastic. Fantastic. Thanks for all that you've shared.
Okay.
Can I
the floor.
All right. Thank you so much, Representative Schmidt. There's got to be someone else. There's got to be two, three more people that want to talk. Go ahead.
Senator Latimer, huh?
Yes, go ahead, Senator.
Okay, you talked about, the first and greatest commandment.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing the Lord gave me that I wanted to share with the group here, I don't think I might have shared it before, but I'm not sure. But how do you get there? You know, how do you get to the point that we are in our lives to the point where you have that all-out love for God? Because that's a commandment.
Mm-hmm.
He commands you to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And it really doesn't tell you in the Word how to do it, but the answer to it is it's by faith. It's by
mm-hmm.
if He commands you to do something and He knows
mm-hmm.
the path and you don't,
mm-hmm.
that what you do is you by faith you give Him permission to do it in your life, and
mm-hmm.
you're asking to bring it to that point where you have that all-out love for God. And I promise you, He'll get you there. If
praise
He commands
God.
You to commands you to do it and you don't know how, and He does. He'll get you there. That's the trick. I mean, that's the answer to it, is
mm-hmm.
giving Him permission throughout your life. You give him permission to get me to, and ask him in prayer to do it. And I promise you, he'll do it. He'll get to that point where you have that all-out love for him. You will. It's just going to happen. So I just wanted to share that. I yield with that.
Oh, thank you, Senator. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Representative Mark Binder, do you have anything to share?
I just think that it's very important that we follow along with virtue, and that we respect the founding fathers for all the time and every energy and everything they put in, so that we can study it. And I guess for that, I yield. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Representative Binder. Anyone else?
David, this is Jean.
Yes, please, Jean. Go ahead.
Just thinking, what's been in my heart for a very long time, and for certain with an angst the last 2 years, is we have the promise of the harvest. So we know that we can expect another Holy Spirit outpouring. We have studied the Great Awakenings and Holy Spirit outpourings in past throughout our history, and there's patterns in that. And then knowing the Word of God for where we are and on the Creator's timeline is we're due for the harvest and Holy Spirit outpouring, and we know that the latter will be greater than the former. And we have great hope because we need divine intervention, just like our founding fathers and mothers called for, because they were up against a world power. You know, the greatest empire in the world, it was said that the sun never set on Great Britain because they colonized all over the world and had the greatest army and navy in the world. And these were mostly folks in agriculture, farmers, and, the Minutemen. So we can expect that again. And that's our hope, because the people have to repent. They must turn, which is what repentance is. They must turn to the Creator and repent. And, to get that internal liberty first by faith in Christ, the Messiah, and then we know that it works outward into civil liberty. But we have huge enemies in the world, but the scriptures also talk to that too. And God wins, and we will go forward as we stand in faith and doing our part. And our goal should be virtue, because we want liberty. Thank you, David. I yield.
Oh, thank you so much. Anyone else? Anyone else?
This is Representative David Schmidt requesting the floor, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that about President Trump. Well, the only thing that's the funny part about that thing about that, when he gives his speeches and stuff like that, he says we built the great economy. It's we or I or we.
Right. Right.
Okay. And what he should be doing instead is said the Almighty Father built this.
Yep.
And we followed the instructions. We carried out the instructions of the Almighty Father. That's what he should have. That's what he should have been. That's the way he should be putting it. And I know a couple of people. One gentleman that there. He's by in his upper 70s. That's what he brought to mentioned to me. And another thing also is the fact that he's been called one. Gay organizations called him the most pro-gay president in history. That was about 3 years ago or so. Like I say, it's all about paying attention to details. And I remember reading. Bill Robertson had come out with his own book, and he had a talk with President Trump. I think it was either right before or whatever right there, and. And Bill Robertson told Donald Trump that he needed a full-scale baptism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, full immersion. And Donald Trump turned it down. So Maybe that's starting to play into it a little bit.
Could be.
No.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Representative Schmidt. I appreciate it.
David, I would like to say that remember last year when BLM, Antifa were burning cities and they were in D.C. and it happened to be Pentecost. That was Pentecost of 2020. And they burnt they started St. John's Church on fire. The fire was put out. There was damage.
Yep.
But the next day, President Trump gave a speech in the Rose Garden at the White House.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he was indirect in what he said, but if you're paying attention, he could get it. He said, we have one law, one mm-hmm. beautiful law. Mm-hmm. And then he walked out of the White House and, you know, surprised everybody, walked over to St. John's Church, and his daughter hands him a Bible she was carrying in her purse, and he held it up. And that's what he was talking about, was the law of God. So I give that to him. He just didn't say the words because, hey, the Luciferians would have crucified him.
Yep.
We know
that. Okay. I like that.
Thank you.
And not only that, but he was also brought up on, to his benefit, he was also brought up, he is strongly pro-life, okay? He is strongly pro, to his benefit on that there. He is strongly pro-life, and he has stated it there. He has stated that every human being is made in the likeness and image of God.
Mm-hmm.
He has done that. So he has a knowledge, but I'm bringing it apart about when it comes to the economy and stuff like that. That's,
you know,
he needs to put that there and put the credit to the Almighty Father.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Representative Schmidt. Representative Reed from Nebraska, what's your thoughts tonight, if I could ask you?
Well, thank you for asking. This is very provoking and thought-inducing. You know, it kind of takes me back to when I started as a new member to this organization. And at one point, I realized, hey, how few of us there are, how lacking in power. And then I realized it's not us, it's God.
Mm.
God will bring us where we need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't, we won't get there.
Mm-hmm.
And if he does, nobody can stop us. So that's what I've been thinking about. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. Senator Gates, do you have any thoughts?
My thoughts are very... They're flying. Let me just mm-hmm. put it that way. You folks are just giving me so much information. I'm writing like a scribe. There's just so much information here that I really, in many many cases, really never thought so much about. Boy, let me tell you, there's so much going on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is.
You guys are really, let me just kind of say in the vernacular, you guys are really rocking. So, keep going.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing your heart with us, Senator Gates. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it so very much. I would like to ask the Speaker of the House, do you have any thoughts about what we went through tonight, sir? The floor is yours.
I just would say that we need to continue lifting our Lord and Savior up, and that's our focal point, even though, you know, we're the Republic government, but he is still the head. It's like he's the head of everything, and we continue need to focus in on what he is and what he's all about, and I think continue to build that foundation.
Okay, I want to ask you, did you ever hear a teaching such as what I presented tonight?
No, I have not.
Has anyone on the call ever heard a teaching or a preaching on this subject of virtue, efficacy, power? Has anyone ever heard of anything like that?
Nope.
Okay. Okay. No. Mr. Speaker, the floor is yours.
All right. Thank you very much. Again, it speaks for itself, and appreciate to both David and Gene doing their research and, again, presenting to us, getting us all to think this evening. Anybody have any closing comments for tonight? All right. If not, I would definitely entertain a motion for us to adjourn tonight, if somebody would like to do that.
David Schmidt, making a motion to adjourn until the Tuesday, September 21st at 8 p.m. Central, with that of your before.
This is our Representative Mark Binder seconding that motion.
All right. Thank you very much. We've got a motion on the floor to adjourn tonight and reconvene on the 21st of September. And it's been seconded as well. All in favor, say aye.
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 And is there anybody opposed? All right. We'll go ahead and stand adjourned for tonight. And before we go our separate ways and close tonight, I'd like to call on Gene Hertler to close us in prayer this evening, and if you'd like to do that for us.
It'd be a privilege. Thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for gathering this remnant together, that we seek to restore your kingdom and to prepare the way for our true King, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. We seek to bring you glory, and according to your word, that when we lift you up, that you draw all men unto you. Pray, Father, that your hand would be upon us, that as your Spirit indwells us and we are led by your Spirit, that your Holy Spirit fire would catch, and that the knowledge that we work to put the ink in the well so you have something to write with or something to speak with, we pray that that would be sown and bring a return of souls that understand and desire to covenant with you. I pray blessing and that hedge of protection over each member of Congress and each participant here and each hearer, that we thank you that you promise to keep us safe and those of our households, and that we will continue to stand no matter what we see in these days, because we know the promised end, and we stand for righteousness. We know that righteousness goes with justice, they're hand in hand. So we stand for righteous, believing for your justice to come, and the restoration of your government that will spread throughout the earth. Blessing upon each one, I pray. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'd like to add a prayer in, too.
I'll say amen, but I'd like to add a prayer, too, please.
Yes, most certainly.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we ask that we lift up James Timothy Turner and bring him out of prison and heal him, get him fully healed, bring him back home with his family.
Mm-hmm.
And also send many legions of angels to provide hedge of protection for all of us officers, everyone that's in your republic, and also hedge of protection around President Geiger. And also, bring a hedge of protection for Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow.com, who has been working to expose the election fraud try and steal your nation away from you. And he has put it on the line, and he and his team members, we ask the hedge of protection for all of them, and that they come forward, bring this forward, and expose this entire fraud. And we come, you know, pray this in the name of your Ben, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen.
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 Good night, everybody.
Amen.
Good night, everyone. Gene, before you...
This session is no longer being recorded.
Before you
I'm
leave,
still here.
You want to go ahead and give a brief update on President Turner?
Oh, I'm so sorry that I had done that.
The recording has started.
To end that music there. Yes, and I apologize for that. I am in touch with him. He came through the hurricane that just went through Louisiana, Mississippi, into Tennessee. It was projected to go right up the line where he's at, but it went to the east, and he's fine. He's still awaiting being moved. He was told a couple weeks ago that they were moving him, and we know that that's a word from the Lord. There was a word from the Lord that was obtained that the Father has this, and that he is like a bishop on his chess board and in the game, and he's about to be moved. And the next time I talked to him, he said, they told me today they're moving me. So we know that the Father is doing something. It's very slow. They tried to prevent, I believe, with the full lockdown for COVID when there wasn't one positive test in the whole institution. But lockdown is off now. And I'm hoping that he's moved very soon, because that's a bad place where he's at. And he'll be moving to Jessup, Georgia. And we're just looking for divine intervention to bring him home. So that's what I know.
All right. Thank you very much, Jean. Good to hear an update, a positive update for President Turner. Very much so. All right. With that, I'll go ahead and let you all head, and we'll catch you in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Good night.
Have a good night, everyone.
God bless, everyone.